Good evening, friends. This is Michael again, and we are beginning with telepathy and the etheric vehicle, program 42. Today is Finnish Independence Day. Whenever you may run into this recording, it's a great service and celebration, this time for the 104th year of Finnish independence, whether it's from Russia or from Sweden. And at the moment, we have program 42 up on the docket, so to speak, and I think I'll just work a little bit with a segue here, and what it does say, the one desire of the disciple is to register impressions from the hierarchy, and that's usually in the early stages, DK tells us, and that he much prefers the idea of registering to the hierarchy, from the hierarchy, than from his own soul. Sorry for the slight interruption there, but that is how it goes. So anyway, DK is telling us that the disciple much prefers, in the beginning, registration from the hierarchy rather than the idea of registering impressions from his own soul, even though the soul is in fact a very high being. If we could but understand that, and is as the solar angel, a member as the solar Petri of the council within the sun. And if you think about that, may I suggest, that is a membership that's even higher in a way than membership within the council of Shambhala. I know it seems very strange, but we are rejecting at first the influence of a higher being. So the individual would rather receive impressions from the hierarchy than from his own soul or from the surrounding human factors, DK goes on to tell us, his fellow men and the environment, and the circumstances which they create. Of course, there are all different grades of environment, and some of them are hidden, invisible, and very high. But he is preferring the hierarchy above all. Now, that sorry, I've just trying to see. And DK goes on now in what we have as program 42. He longs for what might be called vertical impression, the motive being very largely self-centeredness turns the disciple introspectively upon himself, and this stage, and it is in this stage that many aspirants become prisoners, astrally speaking, because they register in their magnetic aura the many astrally motivated thought forms of what they believe and hope vertical impression supposedly would convey. So DK is saying, and we will look at this with him, that they prefer the vertical impression, and that motive, self-centeredness, and they become prisoners, astrally speaking. Okay, and I'll kind of put this in an astral color, more or less. Okay, so aspirants become prisoners, astrally speaking, because they register in their magnetic aura that which attracts. It's what attracts thoughts and energies, right? The many astrally motivated thought forms of what they believe and hope vertical impression would convey. And here's the registration regarding what they believe and hope vertical impression would convey. But it is erroneous, actually. It is erroneous and holds them back. And forces them to deal with unrealities. I'm suggesting these things. And here is something further from DK. They contact with facility the astral counterparts of the higher worlds, which are reflected and thereby distorted into the astral plane. The world there registered is glamored by wrong and selfish desire, and by wishful thinking, the wishful thinking of well-meaning devotees. If we can understand all that, and the world there is glamored by wrong and selfish desires, the Tibetan says, and by wishful thinking of well-meaning devotees. Upon this I need not enlarge, says the Tibetan. All disciples at some point or another in their training have to work through this phase of clamor. Well, I'm going to kind of use a different blue here, and the astral counterparts. So that's a couple of words that need enlargement. They are reflected and thereby distorted. They're not real in any case, and the higher worlds are something different. The world there registered is glamored by wrong and selfish thinking of the devotees. Okay. I think the word wishful thinking is peculiarly descriptive. And I just mean to make this a little more uniform. Okay. And he's not going to enlarge upon this, and he's going to tell us that at some phase in our development, well, I'll just read what he has to say. Upon this I need not enlarge. All disciples at some point or another of their training have to work through this phase of glamour. In doing so, they clarify and intensify the magnetic aura and simultaneously clarify the surrounding worlds. In which they would in which they are in contact, or with which they are in contact. All disciples have to work through this phase of glamour, and as they do, they clarify and intensify the magnetic aura and simultaneously and clarify the surrounding astral world with which they are in contact, because after all, it can be clarified and it need not be entirely the repository of glamour. They learn also that the longing to register impressions from the hierarchy, and I think a number of the students had that. I'm thinking about ISGL particularly. They learn also that the longing to register impressions from hierarchy must give place to the determination to place their magnetic aura at the disposal of humanity. So it's not for themselves. It's for humanity altogether. Longing to register impressions has to give place to make their magnetic aura available. Not for themselves, but for the larger group, and for the elevation of the larger group. Okay. Humanity being the largest group here that we might be discussing. DK goes on to say, they then learn to register human need and to understand thereby where help is possible and their fellow man can be served. Okay, that's an important point. So in this process of placing their magnetic aura at the disposal of humanity, they learn to register human need and understand how their fellow human beings can be served. Okay, that's what he says. And then and all of this results as they free themselves from the glamour into which they have found their way. Part of it is negligence, part of it is ignorance, I might suggest. But if the magnetic aura is intensified and clarified, then already it can be used for different and higher purposes. I wonder how many of us simply think of the welfare of others and not what we have to pass through, which might seem unpleasant to us, or fearful, or in some way part of our preoccupation. But instead, we give, may I suggest, we give up to humanity everything that we have attracted of a positive nature, and do not remain preoccupied with our own concerns. So, DK goes on a bit, and he says, by means of this conscious registration of invocative appeals from the world of horizontal contacts, The magnetic aura of the disciple is cleared of the hindering and engrossing thought forms, and from the aspirational desires and longings which have hitherto prevented right registration. And here are the invocative appeals of the world, the clearing of the hindering and engrossing thought forms. It's interesting that even when we're dealing with the astral body, we are also speaking of thought forms, and the modern psychologist perhaps calls them feeling-toned thoughts, something of that nature. And what happens then, and I should include the word conscious here, what happens is the disciple then ceases to create the hindering and engrossing. He's using that word quite specifically as a word that indicates confinement by a lower form of matter. The disciple then ceases to create these, may I add, hindering and engrossing thought forms, which have been created, and those which have been created die out of atrophy for lack of attention. So what I'll do, you know, I'm just trying to keep things a little bit distinct. But there comes a time when we're not going to block our way with very limiting and materially intending, thus engrossing thought forms, which are usually found in the glamored people on the astral plane. The disciple then ceases to create them, and those which have been created die out of atrophy or for lack of attention. They're just not so interesting anymore, nor do we have high hopes connected with them. Before, as they were reflections of high states, we thought they might be of value, but in fact they were simply misleading stultifications of a much greater process in which we could engage. So, reviewing here a little bit, we come to the point where it's possible to understand how our fellow human beings can be served. The magnetic aura is no longer placed at our own personal disposal for some form or other of self-importance or self-aggrandizement, and it's rendered over to our fellow human beings, for their welfare. And when this happens, and when we have that conscious registration of from humanity, then the magnetic aura is simultaneously cleared of the engrossing thought forms. And from unrealistic aspirations which are self-emphasizing, and longings which have been established. Notice the word longing. You're stretching yourself towards something. But that longing does not get you there. As a matter of fact, it misleads you. And then realizing that you are being misled, you finally cease to create these thought forms and longings. These things that really do get in the way of higher registrations. So we can see that it is a process which takes some time, and it won't happen, this clearing, this divestiture of hindrances, it will not happen in just one life. It will not happen that way. Probably, if we could look back and see the way we have been involved in such things, it would be quite humbling, I think. But all disciples have been through that. Now, later on, says the Tibetan, when the accepting disciple becomes the accepted disciple, with a kind of a anticipatory stage of discipleship in between, which is neither accepting or accepted, but anyway, how he puts it here, later on, when the accepting disciple becomes the accepted disciple and is permitted to participate in ashramic activity, he adds the ability to register hierarchical impression, but not in such a way that it is selfish. That would be a great perversion or distortion of what hierarchical impression really is. The accepted disciple is allowed to participate in ashramic activity and adds the ability to register hierarchical impression, may I suggest, unselfishly. Well, if we were selfish, we couldn't register it anyway, but we wrongly presume that we are, from our state of selfishness, somehow registering hierarchical impression. Now, the Tibetans group was pretty much on the periphery of his ashram, but he but they did receive ashramic energy, and they received via Alice Bailey his particular uplifting energies, even if they didn't even if they didn't know it. Alice Bailey was pretty much giving to the disciples just what the Tibetan thought, in which those disciples could not register on their own without her intervention. So anyway, eventually the very thing they thought they wanted in the beginning, though selfishly so, is conferred upon them as they advance. And it's more the real thing. But about this hierarchical impression, DK says, this is only possible. This, however, is only possible after he has learnt to register impression coming to him from his own soul, the vertical impression, and from the surrounding world of men, the horizontal impression. So may I suggest we have the creation of the cross before real hierarchical impression, with what is the word? Beneficent, I'll have to use that. Beneficent implications can be registered by him instead of his selfish expectancy. So only possible when he registers from his own soul, which is the vertical impression, and from as well from the surrounding world of men, which is the horizontal impression. Only possible after. So it seems to me that the Arcane School is doing a great service, and other schools that are like it, a School for Esoteric Studies and Moria Federation, etc. When we work to help people first contact their own soul, when we learn that. And, you know, to some that may seem a bit dull when you have the chance, my goodness, to contact the spiritual hierarchy of the planet, but then we tend to forget that a solar petri is a very high being and has its home within the Council of the Sun. It's home at this time. And when that solar petri projects, as I imagine it does, the angel of the presence into the causal environment, the angel of the presence is no small being either, no powerless being. It is a very capable and learned being that has been trained, well, if the solar angel has been trained on Sirius, then its projection carries some of that training. Now, going on with the Tibetan, I can see, you know, we have a long way to go in this section, but, a long way, up to page 109, for Roman numeral 14, and which will be called Higher Aspects of Relationship. Right now, we're only on page 103. Now, the next statement by the Tibetan, speaking about the advancing disciple, when he has taken certain important initiations, his magnetic aura will be capable of registering impression from the subhuman kingdoms in nature. Again, later on, so what we see is that these subhuman kingdoms are not yet at the stage of mastership. But it seems to me that maybe initiations 3 and 4 will be important here, because mastership is 5, and DK talks about later on. So, again, going on with the Tibetan, well, capable of registering from the subhuman kingdoms of nature. And does the third initiation put him in touch that way? Does the fourth initiation do that? There are 3 subhuman kingdoms to the human kingdom, and so perhaps the number 3 is an important one. So this next statement by the Tibetan, going on with him, again, later on, past the point of the important initiations, and there are, it's plural, notice. So maybe, I doubt that it could be initiation 2, because it says important, and 3 would ring a bell, connecting with the 3 subhuman kingdoms. Yes, And four would also be possible in relation to the jewel and the lotus, and in relation to the mineral kingdom, which from a certain perspective is the fourth kingdom. Depends on where you start to count from. But anyway, again, later on, when he is a master of the wisdom, and therefore a full member of the fifth kingdom in nature, and may I suggest that before that time, he's a partial member, but not a full member of the fifth kingdom, the world of hierarchical life and activity will be the world from which horizontal impression will be made upon his magnetic aura. And vertical, that's interesting, because then he will, may I suggest, have centered himself within what we call the egoic lotus or the causal body. And vertical impression will come from the higher levels of the spiritual triad, and later still from Shambhala. So hierarchical life, will be related to the horizontal impression, and vertical from the spiritual triad, and still later from Shambhala. Okay. So let's look at that. And yeah. So everything is shifting up constantly. And as the scabbard is to the sword, in this case, the sword of true soul and then spirit, so the egoic lotus, causal body, is to these higher states. Well, friends, it seems that tonight there are quite a few, shall I call them interruptions? Maybe that's not a good word, but various things that have to be done as I'm making this quite small program. So, let's just say that as the disciple advances, the hierarchical life becomes horizontal, and vertical life comes from the spiritual triad and still later from Shambhala. And then humanity has a peculiar position once that occurs, that the world of humanity will be what the subhuman kingdoms were when the fourth kingdom, the human, was the field of horizontal impression. It's kind of like a upward moving cross, really. And he does say, you have here the true significance of the cross of humanity clearly revealed. We can ponder on that. Yes, it's the world of the soul becomes horizontal, and verticality comes from the world of the true soul. The triad. Now just imagine that verticality, horizontality rather, could come from the triad. And maybe there's a day when horizontality comes from the world of the monad. So it's an upward moving cross if we want to conceive it in that way. Maybe I'll just do this much more and leave this as a short program. It's been an exacting day with the Finnish Independence Day, you know, and all the dignitaries are dancing away at the traditional ball or dance that they have in the evening of the 6th of December. Even our Prime Minister at the moment, or rather President, I guess, he tries to dance too, but his wife must have worked with him quite a bit. Anyway, she can, and he labors. Anyway, DK goes on. The fact of registration is no unusual phenomenon. Okay. I think that's something we really need to bring into our consideration. Sensitive people, DK goes on, are constantly being impressed from some level of consciousness or another, and are receptive to these impressions according to the level of consciousness upon which they normally function. Mediums, for instance, says DK, are exceedingly prone to receive impressions from etheric or astral levels, as are the vast majority of astral psychics, and their name is Legion. Impressions from mental levels, concrete, abstract, or of a more exalted nature. And I guess we could consider the atmic plane, which is a plane of mind, from one perspective, as that of a more exalted nature. So impressions from mental levels make their impress upon the minds of those who have attained a true measure of focus upon the mental plane. Scientists, mystics, mathematicians, occult students, aspirants and disciples, educators and humanitarians, and all who love their fellow men are susceptible to such impression. And, yeah. And one of the outstanding needs of the disciple is to develop adequate sensitivity to ashramic impression and contact. Then he moves out of the group of mental sensitives listed above. And I think he becomes a soul sensitive. These others with a good mind can proceed upon their fielding of impressions. So I guess this will be the last paragraph I take up. So sensitive impressions, or people rather, sorry, are impressed from some level of consciousness or other and are receptive to these impressions according to the level of consciousness upon which they normally function. And then he goes through this list of types of people, contrasting the medium, not necessarily the intellectual medium, or more coming under Virgo rather than Cancer or Pisces. But in any case, the medium is impressed from etheric or astral levels. And so are the astral psychics, and their name is Legion. So I'm going to make that let's just mediums, prone to receive from astral levels, and also the vast majority of psychics. I don't put it in a ray two color per se. I put it in one of the outstanding colors of the astral body. And here I will put this into a general statement. Receptive according to the level of consciousness at which they normally function. Now, have you questioned yourself regarding the level of consciousness on which you normally function? I think quite a few Bailey students function with a pretty strong mentality. And of course, the degree to which they can have their mind held steady in the light of the soul will augment their receptivity, augment their aura, their magnetic aura. But maybe it's not as common as we might like or hope it to be. now, the others make their impression through the mind, and DK is talking about mental mental receptivity, impress the minds who have attained a true measure of focus. Now, I think that is the right word. When we talk about polarization, according to DK's specifics in the little section on the sixth initiation from Rays and the Initiations, polarization is a very specific condition. But mental focus is more generalized. Okay. And then he goes through these people whose minds are impressed. Disciples, educators, humanitarians, all who love their fellow men as well, are susceptible to such impression from mental levels. Impression from mental levels. And then he closes this. One of the outstanding needs of the disciple is to develop adequate sensitivity to ashramic impression and contact. And then he moves out of the group of mental sensitives into something that is higher yet. If it involves the mind, then at least it involves the mind held steady in the light. So, because he's oriented towards the ashram, whether the group that is in the ashram or even the master himself. And I think this can still stay in the yellow. Well, friends, I'd like this to be a longer program, but it has been a taxing day, and other responsibilities await me. So, if I go to, maybe I shouldn't be keeping you here like this. But it does go up to 104, I think. That'd be about right. And we'll take it down to where we are going to begin the next program. So this was the end of Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, Commentary 2, and it's sort of the sixth of December, and it started from page 102. And now we'll begin program 43, and we don't exactly know when that will be, but it will involve page 104, I think. Yeah, it does. Comes in the middle of 104. So, but he does look like he's going to take some kind of deepening of the subject when he says, "The problem with which I now deal is far deeper and concerns the interpretation and clear and correct recording of impression, which is a far more difficult matter." And, on and on, we're dealing with this matter of impression and the science of impression. So we can take that up next time, I think. Okay, friends, so I've sent out to you and Michael Crow and to the members of the communications team what you may need, and they'll make sure that at least you get the program I'm sending or have just sent the text. So on this joyous day in Finland, where we celebrate the 104th anniversary of Finnish independence, we wish you continued excellent assimilation. Yes, that's what we do. And let's see if I can. Yeah. Put myself up here. We're going to be starting with program 43 next time, sometime in December, sometime soon, and we'll let you know. So love and many blessings to all of you, and we'll be getting into the Christmas season very shortly, and that will give us many new demands, but we'll try to meet them. Okay. We'll be seeing you soon, and all the best with love, light, and power to everyone. Okay. Bye for right now.